This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Yeah. Assalamualaikum, lovely sisters, welcome to the Mindful Heart. Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me and see me. Okay, everything's good. Inshallah, bismillah, let's see. All right. You know, our friend. friendships can either make us or break us. They can either lift us up, help us to grow, help us to reach new heights, or they can drag us down and make us experience sometimes hurtful feelings, sometimes disappointing feelings. So these friendships that we've been talking about for the past few lessons, I don't know how many, it's been maybe 6 or 7. Today is the day we get to answer all the questions. It is the Q&A, and I want, like, some great questions have come in, and I'm sure that everyone will benefit. Even if you didn't send in a question, I'm telling you, these are vital questions, and it'll impact everybody. So who is ready to get started? Inshallah. Give me a thumbs up. Okay, great. Thank you. Let's get started. Bismillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. I will make this bigger so I can see. Things are, I don't know if they're getting smaller or it's my eyesight. We always joke about that. All right. So the first question is, how to cope with a friendship betrayal on an emotional level? So when you've been betrayed, right? If you feel that maybe you shared something, maybe someone talked about you, maybe there was some conspiracy, whatever it was, the first thing you have to do is you have to have an open discussion and then giving them the benefit of the doubt, right? We don't want to act based on assumptions, okay? So have an open discussion. How many of you, let's get the discussion going, how many of you have experienced some form of betrayal in your friendship? And how has it impacted you? I think it'll be important to get this discussion going because you will realize that you're not alone, right? The challenges that you face within your friendships, I'm sure that everybody has had similar experiences. So what to do? First of all, after you have like an open discussion, and then if it is, you know, then if it is confirmed that you've been betrayed, right, then you have to really learn from the experience. Something I read that was really profound is learn and understand and believe what people are showing you, right? Because I know that there were many relationships that I was in, maybe about like a decade or so ago. And no matter what I saw, I kept making excuses. I kept making other excuses and more excuses. And I knew in my heart that this was, you know, there was something within me that I felt like something's not right. And I felt it, but yet I kept giving the benefit of the doubt, but to the max. And then what happened is when I read this, it was so profound. It said, believe what people are showing you. So if someone is, you know, repeatedly doing the same things, then you have to recognize that. And then sometimes you have to keep your distance, right? And be grateful. And this was one of the things I learned. And I'm so grateful for that. Allah showed you the true colors. It's so important. It can be hurtful. It can be disappointing, but to know and not to move even further into it and invest more time and more effort, right? And remember that there are gems out there. And this is one of the things about being an optimistic person is recognizing that there are people who are truly genuine and truly good. And Allah said in the Quran, like when the angels were saying, how are you bringing people, how are you creating someone who's going to shed blood and cause corruption? And we're seeing that right now, people who are just causing corruption, killing and torturing and doing all these horrible things and causing wars, right? And the angels were like, but why? We are like worshiping you day and night. Why are you bringing these people who are so corrupt? And Allah said, I know what you don't know. So those are the individuals who are truly gems. They're truly people of ihsan. They're people, they are like the awliya. They are so, they're beautiful people. And we have to realize that they are out there and not to be jaded and to think that, you know, because I've had this bad experience, everyone is bad. Okay, so my ex-friend, oh, I haven't heard that before, ex-friend. My ex-friend said, our friendship was causing her panic attacks. I don't think I'm a terrible person. I felt like she was blaming her mental health issues on me. How do I not internalize this? Wow. Well, that's definitely hard to be on the receiving end of that. You have to recognize that, yes, she may have had some mental health issues, right? And she needed to address that. But it's always good to look within as well and see if there was any way that you were contributing to this. It's not that you're a terrible person. No one deliberately, and inshallah, no one deliberately does that. But it's a matter of recognizing that sometimes, and I said this in the past, sometimes just your existence causes others to feel uneasy, right? Sometimes, whether it's your success, whether it's your happiness, whether it's your religiosity, whether it's your degrees, whatever it is, sometimes just that alone causes a disturbance in others. And you have to do some soul searching. And if you can't maybe pinpoint it, then maybe it would help to do some counseling and really try to understand, dissect it. Okay. I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm not like shifting the blame on you, but I'm just saying it's good to, you know, just to dissect and figure out what was going on in the relationship. Right? Recognize that when we are in a relationship, it is, you know, you're both contributing. You're both contributing, sometimes knowingly, sometimes unknowingly. And if someone is impacted by the relationship, then we also can't completely dismiss it, right? We can't just dismiss it. We have to recognize that this is happening. There is something is contributing to this. And when we understand it, then we can improve ourselves. We can see what our shortcomings are. As far as, what was your question? Let me make sure I answered your question. What are your, let's see, is it smart to discuss expectation? Oh, how do I internalize this? It's not about people being like horrible individuals, right? If your friendship doesn't work, both individuals can be great. It's like a marriage, right? In a marriage, sometimes you have two individuals, they're both great individuals, right? But they're just not a good fit. And that happens sometimes in friendships. Sometimes it's just not a good fit. Sometimes they're two alphas and they can't get along. Sometimes it can be a relationship that doesn't bring out the best in you. And it might be things that come up that you have to analyze it and see. So you don't want to necessarily, it's not about internalizing it. It's not about thinking, oh, I'm a terrible person. It's about understanding it and seeing what has happened in the relationship. Okay. Your next question, let's see, is what are reasonable expectations of friendship? Is it smart to discuss expectation? I want to be a good friend, but I also can't be someone's therapist, surrogate husband. What are reasonable expectations? Okay, very good. What I'd love to get feedback from some of you who are tuning in. What do you feel are reasonable expectations? What do you feel are things that it's natural to want from your friend? Now, the thing is, today we have opened it up as a kind of like an open discussion. So we may have some individuals that are not on the Mindful Hearts, and I welcome everyone who is on here. But as far as like the expectation, a natural expectation is, first of all, having camaraderie, right? Feeling that the other person, there is empathy, there is a sense of connectedness, there's a expectation of maybe getting together, right? Now, you can discuss with the person, what are your expectations? I don't see that as something that happens early on in a relationship. You're just getting to know a person. It may feel a little bit overbearing if you say, well, I expect this, 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 and this. But some things come about kind of naturally. They come about naturally. And if you're hurt, if something happens, it's nice to bring it up. And it's not about, these are my expectations, because I feel that kind of discussion can make the relationship feel very, very heavy, right? So it's a matter of a give and take, and then sharing what your likes are, sharing what makes you happy or what's something that disappointed you, versus, you know, saying, well, for my friendship, this is what I expect. And I feel that that'll be a better way to go about it. Now, not being a therapist in a relationship, I totally agree, you know, because if you are always busy in fixing, and if it's a one-sided relationship, then you're going to get drained and you can't be a surrogate husband. I've never heard that before. That's a good one. So a surrogate husband, you really need to recognize that a friendship it needs to be like a safe haven where, of course, you share. Of course, there are times there's ups and downs, but you never definitely want to drain the other person. You want to always reciprocate and make it something that is pleasant and enjoyable. Okay, so let's see. You're saying, I feel that a lot is not going right in my relationship. It's like responsibilities are lacking in most cases. I feel that a lot of relationships are baseless, as in no need to even have them going right. Okay, so if you feel that a lot of things are not going right in your relationship, you have to really be honest. Be honest with yourself and find out, are you investing in these relationships? Are you giving? And are you showing up? Are you adding value? If you're doing that, are you being taken advantage of? Because sometimes what I have noticed is that when there are individuals who are people pleasers, and they will do anything just to be accepted. And what ends up happening is that they start getting taken advantage of. And that's not healthy, right? So we have to create like this balance where, yes, we add value, we show up, we're kind, we're loving, but we're also not a doormat. So that takes a lot of introspection. That takes a lot to recognize, am I in a relationship? Am I being taken advantage of? And if you feel that the relationships are baseless, then you have to recognize what made you friends with a person, because the reason we become friends with a person, your niya, right? Your niya for that friendship is very critical. If you have made this friendship just, on baseless things, maybe that's why it's empty, right? And sometimes we create friendships and we may outgrow the friendship. We may, be at a different stage in our life. So you have to really recognize that. Now, the next question, okay, so when we talked about how do you deal with a betrayal, right? How can we maintain our well-being when we have been hurt, okay? Now, this is hard, right? Because we can be hurt from family, and that seems like something that it's like not really controllable. Friends, we're choosing, right? We're choosing them to be a part of our lives. Why would we choose someone to come into our life and hurt us, right? It doesn't make sense. You feel like the people you're choosing to surround yourself with are those individuals you want support from, you want to have laughter with, and you want to have like beautiful memories. So when you are hurt in the friendship, it can really, it can hit hard, right? So allow yourself to feel the hurt, okay? It's normal. Any kind of emotion that you're feeling, whether it's hurt, whether it's anger, whether it's disappointment, allow yourself to feel it, because it's very natural that you are experiencing this. And avoid getting, let's say, overwhelmed by it or depressed by it. And one of the ways to really make sure that you maintain your well-being is taking care of yourself, right? Go outdoors, make sure you're exercising, make sure that you're taking care of yourself, because what happens a lot of times is that one friend can become the caretaker, right? And if you become the caretaker, then it can drain you. So you need to make sure that you are replenishing yourself, right? And another thing that I really recommend to a lot of my clients is to write out your frustrations. Write it out and rip it up. This is a great way to get rid of any kind of toxic emotions or toxic feelings that you're having, instead of like having confrontations, but you write it out. Okay, let's see. And another, can you talk about being burned by a people pleaser? It hurts to find out someone you thought was a friend secretly hated you and unleashed that anger out of nowhere. Makes trusting people difficult. Oh, I'm so sorry that you've experienced this. It is very painful when we get hurt by a person that we never expected to get hurt from. And a people pleaser, let me describe a people pleaser, okay? People pleaser is someone who may have had, or has low self-esteem. Maybe they don't recognize it, and it can be under the notion I'm just a nice person. But a people pleaser will just put everything aside and just focus on giving to whoever the person is to win them over, right? And many times people don't even reflect on this. They're not really doing enough introspection. So they will write this off as, I'm a nice person. But what ends up happening is that if that people pleaser is just trying to win people over by being their doormat, this is very unhealthy. And if you could explain how you got burned by the people pleaser, because I'm not sure what the nature of your relationship was, but let's see. It hurts to find out someone who thought was a friend secretly. Ah, so this, it sounds like a frenemy, right? So sometimes people befriend you and they're secretly jealous of you, right? And this jealousy comes about. So initially there might be a lot of warmth, a lot of, as they call it, love bombing, but they are secretly jealous. And this can be very hurtful. It honestly can. And I've been on the receiving end of it, and it really is, it's sad and disappointing, subhanAllah, because many times it happens with people who are actually quite religious and who you thought really highly of. So what you have to do in that situation, and like any situation that we encounter, is realize that Allah has a master plan, and Allah chooses who is in your life and who is distant from you. And if you look at each scenario, obviously we're going to be hurt, we're going to be affected, but if you look at each scenario as, I want to learn and I want to grow. I have allergies, so the tears are coming, okay? I want to learn and I want to grow. So even the most hurtful situations, even the most disappointing situations, there are things that we can extrapolate from them. So if we keep that open mind and then look at it as, wow, Allah is teaching me a very important lesson in this situation. It is teaching me maybe to be not to be so naive. It's teaching me not to be taken advantage of. There are many situations where I'm like, I should have listened to my gut feeling. My gut feeling was telling me this is not a good person for me. My gut feeling was saying this person really doesn't have my best interest in mind. And then you learn that, well, you have to start trusting that. All right, let's see. She told me she noticed things about me in the last few years. If that's the case, why did she still talk to me and pretend we are cool? Why pretend everything is fine between us? SubhanAllah, you don't know what the intentions of people are. Sometimes individuals are social climbers. They want some kind of benefit from the friendship. Sometimes it is, in some ways they want to learn from you. Maybe they admire you. And sometimes people are conflicted. Maybe they like someone very much, but they also have those jealousy tendencies. I had a client that, she confessed to me. She goes, sometimes when I'm around my family, I have a lot of jealousy in my heart because I feel that maybe it's the relationship they have. Maybe it's whatever it is. And so this is why being on the Mindful Hearts Academy and doing the internal work and doing the self-development is so critical, because it is natural to have all of these come up. It's natural to maybe love bomb someone because you want something from it. It's natural to maybe have certain jealous feelings. It's natural maybe to be competitive. But until we evaluate and we look at ourselves and we really do some soul searching, then we're not going to graduate to that next level. We're not going to a higher maqam, right? So we are constantly working. We have to be working on ourselves. Some people are not working on themselves and they're just sitting there thinking they're in the same spot, but they're actually going backwards. So the fact that you are wanting to work on yourself and discuss this is really amazing because it's teaching us that we have to constantly improve ourselves. Okay, let's see what the next question is. So how can we protect our friendships if we work with our friends, right? So that's a tricky situation. Have any of you had the situation where you're working with a friend? If you are working with a friend, just write it on the comment section. So it's important to establish clear boundaries, right, between personal and professional interaction. It can't be mixed. Now, I know even like within a marriage, right, my husband and I are working with each other, and I have found that it can get a little blurry, right? Where is it like our marriage versus our partnership, our work partnership, right? So you have to establish some clear boundaries, right? And then communicate openly about the expectations and potential conflicts, right? And this is something that is really important to say that, you know, these are like, I anticipate that this could happen. So let's have an open dialogue. If anything, let's say, bothers you, let's discuss it. And when you have that open communication and we don't base it on assumptions, then you can clear the air. And also respect the confidentiality of the person and avoid favoritism. So this is kind of tricky because if it's someone you're very close to, it's very easy to do that, but it all boils down to mindfulness, right? It's mindfulness. How you behave, how you treat another person, how do you integrate? And it's not an easy thing to do, right? It's not easy in a marriage. It's not easy in a friendship. And you have to really exercise that sense of ihsan in what you're doing so that you don't take away someone's maybe haq, you don't take away their rights, and you don't step on toes, right? So, and then you want to resolve conflicts promptly and respectfully. This, you know, the whole concept of resolving conflict is so important. And I haven't known many people who have mastered the art of conflict resolution, right? And that's going to be our next phase, inshallah, is like how to resolve conflict, because people just either explode or they cut off, and we need to learn how to resolve things. Okay, let's see if all right. So, and then our admin is saying, let's go sisters and write our frustrations out and keep the questions coming, and we can all come out lighter and happier, inshallah. Great suggestion. Okay, I have seen work friendships go south quickly. I do not recommend unless you have a strong foundation in communication with a person, but I still don't recommend it. Paycheck to friendship. Okay. Well, you know, it is much more challenging. I would say that it can test the friendship, but many people have done it. Many people have been successful at it. So we don't want to necessarily rule it out completely, but you definitely have to be more mature. You have to be able to have conflict resolution and be confident enough to, you know, to express yourself. Let's see what's the next question. So we said that about the work. In one session, you mentioned, so these questions came from some of the members. I posted it on the Facebook page for those of you who are new and just tuning in. And some people wrote these questions. In one session, you mentioned that your mom maintained boundaries and had lasting friendship. Please elaborate. How can boundaries be maintained since friends tend to be intrusive? She was really good about that, and she had long-lasting friendships, my mom, Allah yarhamha, some for, my goodness, 50 years she was friends with them, and there was always this mutual respect. And she always maintained the self-respect by maintaining a certain level of formality, right? Some people like to get close really fast. They get close and there's no boundaries, no sense of like, you know, they don't know where they end and the other person begin. And so that level of it's called enmeshment is not necessarily healthy. And it's always good to maintain that level of some level of formality, right? She would always announce when she was coming. She wouldn't just pop in, right? She wouldn't borrow, right? I don't see a big issue with that, but I'm just talking about what she would do. She wouldn't borrow. She wouldn't, she would respect their privacy, and she always remained respected, right? So my friends, my mom's friends, mashallah, tabarakallah, we were from a middle-class family. She had friends who were, mashallah, tabarakallah, multimillionaires, but she never took advantage of that, right? There are some people who like to, smooch off of others, right? It's about, what can I benefit from this person? What can I benefit from that person? And it's always like getting things. And that was something that was one of the boundaries that she established, that no matter what, she always reciprocated, even though there was a huge difference in financial capabilities, but there was always this sense of dignity, self-respect, right? Because some people may not have the self-respect and they don't care, and they will, as long as they get what they want from the person, right? And that kind of person will very quickly be looked down upon. Right. And I've heard, in the past and through my clients, especially through my clients who will complain and say, this person will just come and they just want this, they ask for so many things and then they get annoyed from it. Right. And they feel used. Right. So this idea of not ever making a person feel used and making sure that everything is like reciprocated, and she never imposed and was never demanding. And that is one of the biggest lessons of friendship that, I learned from her. I did a tribute. And what I heard from all the friends that she had and all her sister-in-laws, 10 sister-in-laws, you guys, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Sometimes having one sister-in-law is challenging enough, but she had 10, and they all considered her either a very good friend or a best friend, and they all respected. So it means that when you respect yourself, when you maintain some level of boundaries and you don't get enmeshed with another person, then you can maintain that relationship. Okay, so I hope that I hope that answers the question. All right. So that was about my mom. And then betrayals from friends leave us in a state of not trusting other friends. How do we know which girl friendships can be taken forward or on much closer level without being ditched or deceived? Okay, so it's very natural that if you've been burned, you're going to kind of retreat, right? And a lot of individuals that I work with have that experience. They got burned and they got deceived. They were betrayed. They were stabbed in the back, however you want to describe it. And so what ends up happening is that they isolate themselves. But you have to recognize that self-isolation is not the answer. Okay, when you isolate yourself, you have a tendency to become depressed. You tend to, just feel maybe negative and pessimistic. So you definitely don't want to do that, right? You have to move forward carefully and cautiously. Why? Because we said there are gems in the society. There are gems. There are people that are truly valuable and beautiful human beings. And if you, you know, you shut off all people, then you're going to be isolated, right? I always like to use this analogy. I like to use the analogy of building fortresses. Some people, they get hurt, so they build these fortresses and not to get hurt, right? And they won't get hurt, right? Because they're not risking it, but they're also in these fortresses, they are being deprived. They are being deprived of true joy, true happiness, true meaningful interactions. So if you're in your fortress and you're like, okay, well, I'm not getting hurt, but you're also not being loved. You're also not having joy. You're also lacking in that intimacy with others. So really evaluate that, inshallah. All right? Let's see. So first, observe consistency in the behavior over time. So before you connect with someone, kind of observe and see, are they consistent? The one thing that really throws me off and I dislike is inconsistency, right? Maybe one day a person is like super excited and then the other day is like they don't really care so much about your relationship. So it's this up and down and up and down. So you want consistency. And if you see that someone is consistent over a period of time, you take one step closer. And then you communicate openly about some of your likes and dislikes, right? Again, I don't feel that it kind of takes away from that natural, and like you want it to happen organically. You don't want to sit there and say, my expectations for my friend is to do, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? But you express, this is what I like, and this is, you know, and you establish boundaries without saying, these are my boundaries, and you better not do it, and because that becomes very bossy, and it becomes very transactional, but you communicate your likes and dislikes in a very pleasant and easygoing way, right? And then you do have to trust your instincts and intuition. One of the biggest lessons that I learned was trusting, because trusting my intuition. There are some people I had very strong negative feelings and I just kept wanting to hush them because I thought I want to get the benefit of the doubt. I want to get the benefit of the doubt. And it turned to actually harm me. So trust that. We don't get negative feelings for no apparent reason, right? They don't just come up. It is the negative feelings come due to certain behaviors. So we have to really, we have to be aware, right? Because some people are just oblivious. They're just not even seeing the signs. There's like, woo, so many signs coming in. They're just not even seeing it. But you have to be vigilant of those signs. And then also recognize that, you know, if this is, it's unhealthy, then recognize it. Right? And then start with small acts of trust and then observe if it's being reciprocated, right? So you take these baby steps and you see if it's reciprocated. There are some people who just take, you know, it's just like they take and then there's no follow-up. There's no, there's no reciprocating. So you have to observe, right? And that's why it's good for a friendship to take time for it to develop. You know, some people go in, they go all in, they become enmeshed. And generally that's really a sign of some kind of like psychological issues because there's a neediness and then they become very enmeshed. And those individuals I've seen, a lot of clients who have gone through this, that they have a series of broken friendships, right? And so it's much better to take your time, develop the friendships, and then see if there's compatibility. Because when you give it time, you're able to see, right? If it's so fast, it's kind of like someone who gets married. They meet them and boom, they get married. They didn't give an opportunity to see the other person and others. And when time passes, you're like, oh, wow, like you get to see the whole thing, right? So that's important to keep in mind. All right, let's see. What is So we talked about the betrayals, and then it is about, and think about some of the questions you may have about friendships, maybe personal experiences you've had that are a little bit puzzling, because if you don't understand what happened in a friendship, then it's kind of hard to move forward, right? Because you feel like you're in, there's a block, right? So if there is a situation that you have been in, then please write it in the comment section and I can help answer it. So this is one of the last questions I have that has been written down, but I will be happy to answer your questions for those of you tuning in live. So how to manage friendship. I have more. I thought that was the last one. All right. I have a few more. How to manage friendship with non-Muslims. I have a non-Muslim friend from my childhood, or from before I reverted, that I'm still close to. As a Muslim, what do I need to be careful of and aware of? Okay, so having friendships with non-Muslims, actually you have to realize that that is a excellent way of doing dawah. You know, if for those of you who attended my Mindful Ramadan and you saw it was transformation through the light, or by the light, and these were all like famous converts, and they, many of them shared that they were touched by a friend, a Muslim friend, or they knew this Muslim neighbor, or they knew this Muslim coworker, and they were impressed by their ethics, they were impressed by their character, they were impressed by how peaceful they are. Right? So we want to interact. We don't want to live isolated and only interact with Muslims. There needs to be, like, you respect each other's differences, your beliefs, practices, right? And then you foster understanding through dialogue and empathy. You know, I was just, right before this lesson started, a gentleman in our office building came by and he said, you know, I spoke with your husband. They had a really deep conversation. It was, you know, getting to know one another, and it talked about the deen and talked about so many things. And there was this openness, and he was so, like, there was an acknowledgement of when you know someone and when you're able to interact with them, then a lot of the stereotypes go away. Right? A lot of the things that we have in our mind, these preconceived notions, just kind of melt away, right? So, but you also have to maintain integrity in your own values and actions. And then you have to set boundaries around the activities that, you know, that conflict with your Islamic principles. So, you know, I had this one client who said she's going out with some of her friends, and, you know, either they're not practicing or they're non-Muslims. And so they make it very clear that, you know, well, I can't be at this kind of event. I can't go where there's alcohol. I can't. And they recognize it. And it's really nice when you're able to share it confidently, not, you know, unapologetically, and then they will actually respect it and realize that friends, they are a point of reference for us, okay? And I can tell you from my own life experiences, when I had friends who were just like not practicing, and, you know, and that was a point of reference. So a lot of things get normalized, right? And we have to be careful because we don't want to become callous to certain sins. So that's something to, you know, to keep in mind. There's nothing wrong with, you know, there's nothing wrong with having the friendship. But the thing, and it said, okay, what do I need to be careful about? You have to always make sure that you are influencing and not being influenced. Although, if we're spending time with someone, it's like we're mutually being affected. But if you're being pulled in and you're being impacted, then you need to make sure that you kind of, you know, balance that or minimize the time that you are together, and make sure that when you're getting advice from, you know, you're not getting advice from them because they have a different codes of ethics, maybe different morals, different things. So make your confidants your practicing Muslim friends. And that's the one thing. That's the caveat, right? Is that if you are getting, if you're consulting, if you are getting advice, get that from your practicing Muslim friends, because they know your values. And even in seeking counseling, right, it makes such a difference. So many of my clients will tell me, well, what a difference that you talk to me about the deen, you align me with my relationship with Allah, where, you know, a therapist that, you know, doesn't know anything about Islam, they can't get the same advice from them. So that would be the one thing to be very careful about. I had a friend give me $1,000 for my pregnancy. I protested with her, but finally accepted. A year later, she cut me off for minor reasons. How can someone give you a huge gift and then cut you off? Well, you know, it's hard to give you advice on that, because I don't know your personalities. I don't know the nature of your friendship. I don't know what happened within that year, right? Some people, and I'm not saying her because I don't know her, but some people do what is called like love bombing, right? They want to give someone a lot of, whether it's a lot of love, a lot of attention, a lot of gifts, something, and it is, you know, sometimes used as a bait, right? And I don't want to give the impression that it's always like that. Some people are really good-hearted and they give, and they are just simply wanting to be loving. And so we don't want to have this negative outlook, because there are individuals that no matter how much good they see, they're paranoid. They have a paranoid personality, and they may always see whatever goodness that someone does as they're out to get me, right? Or there's a underlying plot, or yeah. So you have to be very careful, right? You have to make sure that if you know a person's character and you know that this person is just generally good-hearted, loving, generous, then that is like, and they're doing it for the sake of Allah, that's one thing. But then there are some people, sadly, what would you call it? It is a methodology that is used to it's almost like having power over a person, right? And then it's a way of kind of being in that relationship. A narcissist will do this. So a narcissist personality will do like a huge, they will do something huge to kind of rail you in, and then the relationship is on their terms, right? So you just have to be careful with that. It's hard for me to reflect on this anymore, why she cut you off. I don't know what happened within your relationships. So it's a bit difficult. But I would say that since you've had a few issues in your friendships, I would really say it is worth exploring. It's worth sitting with a counselor and just understanding it, because sometimes we may not see our own shortcomings. We may not recognize how we contribute to it. And that's worthwhile. I really would highly, highly recommend that. Okay. Let's see how to manage. Okay. So we said that number seven is signs of a toxic friendship. Okay, so how do you know, someone was asking, how do you know if you're in a toxic friendship, right? Sometimes I have people who are in a toxic marriage and they don't even know it, right? And I had one lady, she was describing some of the things happening in her marriage. I'm like, that's emotional abuse. And she was shocked. She didn't recognize it. So we have to be cognizant of what is toxic, right? If there's constant criticism or belittling, okay? If there's a lack of support or encouragement, you find that there are some individuals, they're only in the taking, but not in the giving. So if there's lack of support, if there's no encouragement, you know, if you are saying you're about to do something, whether it's like do a degree, get a new job, do whatever it is, a new diet, and then they don't even support you. They don't even say anything positive. It's almost like they feel either, whether it's competitive or intimidated. So when there's a lack of support, If they are manipulative, they have manipulative behavior or emotional blackmail. So the emotional blackmail is kind of like what I was referring to. So, you know, there's a big act of kindness, but then it's like, then it comes to bite you, right? So that the emotion and being very manipulative, right? You always feel like there's plotting and planning, right? The next sign of a toxic friendship is that it's one-sided, where one person consistently benefits at the expense of the other, okay? Excessive jealousy or possessiveness. So if you find that someone is very, they could be jealous of you or possessive, right? There's this possessiveness of, and I see this, subhanAllah, I never ever experienced this, not like from kindergarten all the way through, elementary, middle school, high school, college, after college, never experienced that. Never felt that sense of friends being possessive or the jealousy. I just didn't see it. It was when I reached my 40s. Wow, did I see that? And then it just blew me away, because I've always been a person who brings friends together and wants to help people meet and connect and have fun, and it has never been an issue. But subhanAllah, I find that I'm trying to figure out what it is, and it has a lot to do with a lack of maturity, right? And this is why, like with a lot of my clients, I will tell them, go through that series, the phase on maturity. And some of them will get offended. It's like, what are you telling me? I'm immature. And I'm like, yeah, we all regress. And it's important to recognize and to see, do I have some of these immature characteristics? And one of them is that idea of being possessive and not being able to share. And it's either me or you, or it's just silly. It's really, really silly. Right? Difficulty in communicating openly and honestly. So a person may, like, you know, they'll be fine talking behind you, but not openly to you. Feeling drained or emotionally exhausted after spending time together. Now, this is, you know, how I told you I had some gut instincts about certain people that I had met. And one of the things I couldn't understand, like, I would go meet with a group of ladies that would have breakfast afterwards, I'm like, oh my God, why do I feel so drained? I like nothing positive about this, you know, the gathering. Because the gathering, what did it consist of? Talking about others, criticizing, being negative. And I just felt like, my God, I'm usually uplifted by my friends, because I'm very selective in the friends that I choose. And in this situation, I was judging the friendship thinking maybe like religiosity, like if someone is religious, then they're automatically good. And that's not the case. You find individuals, they could be amazingly knowledgeable. They may have degrees. They may have the Quran memorized, but the character is lacking. The character is lacking, and we really need to choose friends based on character, based on maturity, based on, you know, being in a relationship where you feel good about that interaction, right? If someone is disrespecting the boundaries or crossing them regularly, right? So disrespecting the boundaries and then crossing them. Another thing is gossiping or the betrayal of trust. Okay, that is a sign of a toxic friendship, and that's very hurtful, right? It's very hurtful. At a situation, I think I've shared it with you all, where I had a family stay with us. It was more of an acquaintance, someone that I knew. It wasn't like a very close friend. And after 4 weeks, like family of five staying with us, and after 4 weeks of being with us, her analysis was, Hala is too good to be true. She must be a fake. And then she went and basically spread that about me. And so that, it's so hurtful. This is a person that I would get up and touch it and pray for her when she was in difficulty. I cried and I was so happy for her when her kids would reach success. And it's just so, it's so hard to come to terms with that, subhanAllah. But it's a learning experience. The inability to celebrate each other's success or be genuinely happy. You know, it's like when someone is just, you achieve some success and there's no joy, there's no happiness. So that says a lot about the friendship. Okay. Let's see. So you're saying, I feel like that the girl who had terrible romantic relationships and can't understand why, except I've had this with friendships. Either I'm the issue or I pick the wrong friends. Okay, so you feel like the girl who's had terrible romantic relationships and can't understand why. Okay, so that's very important realization. There is a pattern of behavior. And if there is a pattern, then you definitely have to look with it. Okay. And it could be one or the other, right? Either you're gravitating towards the wrong friends or you're bringing out the wrong characteristics in people. Okay. And that's why I really highly recommend kind of delving into it and understanding it better. It will make a huge difference if you do. Now, how to get out of a toxic friendship? How many of you have experienced having a toxic friendship? How many of you have just been stuck and you felt like, you know, how can I get myself out of this? You are the sum of who you surround yourself with. Inshallah, we all find righteous friends and companions. Ameen. You're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And I tell you that it has changed my life, who I spent my time with, whether religiously, when I first became religious and the people who were around me, they just really lifted me up, or whether it's, you know, intellectually, where, you know, you find individuals who are really driven. I have friends that are right now striving to memorize the Quran and they're so committed to it and they're working on it on a daily basis, or individuals who are, you know, they're always striving. Like, I have a dear friend of mine right now, Sister Lauren Booth, and I'm sure many of you saw my interview with her. She is right now on going and sailing from Turkey to Gaza on the flotilla, and there's the opportunity of me being on that, and it's, I can't tell you that how torn I am by not being there. Big part of me wanted to be there, but it's just the responsibilities and not being in, I didn't know in advance to be able to do that. So the fact that she's putting her life on the line, literally, because in 2010, when the flotilla went to Gaza, 10 people were killed, kidnapped. There were Israeli pirates that came on the ship. I mean, it's a dangerous mission. But seeing her put herself on the line, and you know what she did in Ramadan, she asked me to be on her program, raising money to build houses for Syrian refugees, and being able to provide these families with homes finally after 10 years of being in a tent. I mean, that really inspires me, and I see that when we're impacted, and it inspires us to grow. Okay, let's see. I feel triggered. I like how you're so engaged, you guys. MashaAllah. That is amazing. I love hearing the feedback. And if any of you have more questions, you can ask as well. I feel triggered when I hear toxic friendship because I feel like I have been made to be the toxic friend, but I generally don't think I am. How do you deal with being the villain in someone's story? Oh, that's a deep discussion. And I have actually one of the questions is going to address it. Okay, one of the questions is going to address, am I the toxic person? If those of you, how many of you are not on the Mindful Hearts and you're just tuning in? Because this time we made it public on YouTube so more people can kind of get a taste of what we do and just kind of give you a taste. Now, usually I do a lesson. At the end of the phase, we have like 7 lessons on friendship. At the end, it's like Q&A. I open it up. So is there anyone attending that is not on the Mindful Hearts? I would love to know. Yes, Lauren Booth is very inspiring. She is a go-getter, mashallah. Met with her and her husband in Turkey. Very, very genuine. You know, it's just like it really warms my heart. And that's why it's so important to have these kind of friendships where it just kind of it gives you something to aspire towards, right? It's like whether it's like memorizing the Quran or like, you know, working for a cause, and it's just we need that reminder. All right, where was I? Now, okay, how to get out of a toxic friendship. Did we say that? Okay, I think I was telling you. If there is a toxic friendship, I know you're triggered by that, but it sometimes does happen, right? If you are constantly consumed with feelings of anxiety and sadness and there's drama, then you have to realize that this is not helping me move forward. Okay. So you have to you do have to set boundaries, maybe seek support, right? It's important to have a direct conversation. And sometimes if it's necessary, I hate to say this, but sometimes you do have to, like, you know, kind of just not end it as I'm not being your friend anymore. It doesn't have to be dramatic, but if you're not feeling any kind of like positivity, then it may be necessary to end it, right? Focus on the self-care, take care of yourself, and then you forgive and you let go. You don't want to be filled with bitterness. You forgive, you let go, and move on. Okay, now, this is the question. How do you know if you're the toxic person in the friendship? If you remember, I believe it was level 1 in Mindful Hearts, level 1, phase 3. Can y'all correct me if I'm mistaken? On emotional intelligence. And then I was talking about how people can be emotional vampires, right? Emotional vampires. And it's so easy to say, oh yeah, you know, so-and-so, my in-laws are that, and my sibling is that, and, you know, this person and that person. But sometimes you are the emotional vampire. Okay, so let's see, what are some of the characteristics? If you're constantly criticizing someone, okay, there's some people, they don't even recognize it. I had someone I knew, she had a good heart, she really did, but there was constant criticism, constant judgment, constant criticism. So it just felt like, oh my gosh, you know, it becomes very difficult to be with someone like that. There's manipulative behavior. Right? The manipulative behavior, I remember someone told me years ago, they said, oh, my husband does whatever I want. And I was like, oh, how sweet, what a nice guy. I'm thinking like, he's just like one of those happy wife, happy life kind of a guy. I said, oh, that's sweet. And she's like, I will make him miserable until he listens. And I thought, wow, that's really dysfunctional. That is truly dysfunctional. Like, you give him a hard time and you have a fit and you have tantrum just so that he conforms. That's really unhealthy. So that is like manipulative behavior, right? There's a lack of empathy. You share something, like we said, let's say someone shares that they were just really hurt, or they went through this breakup, or they have this like financial loss, and it's like, you show no remorse, no sadness, okay? Boundary violations, okay? Whatever your boundaries are, that they're violated, okay? It's a one-sided relationship. And maybe we've all been in this situation. We've all must have been a toxic person in a relationship at one point or another, right? And it's important to be honest with ourselves. There's some relationship that is only like, you know, the other person is always giving, right? If there's jealousy or possessiveness, if you feel jealous and if you are really possessive, then, you know, that would, that would make for a toxic friendship. The inability to take responsibility. This is a really big one. And it's one of the signs of a narcissist when they can't admit that they did anything wrong. And it's so difficult. It's so difficult when I'm working with an individual that their relationship is broken. They have a long list of broken relationship, long chain of broken relationship. But then they're like, it's not me. It's not me. It's them. And not being able to take any form of responsibility. And I've had, let's say, couples who come in. And because I'm holding both of them accountable, you know, the spouse will get mad and say, no, no, he's the only one. He has to change, not me. Right? Well, no, you both have to change. You can't, like, if you think you're perfect and you don't have to change, then that's a sign, first of all, immaturity, right? There is this lack of emotional intelligence. So if you can't ever admit that you're wrong, that could be a sign that you are a toxic person. The lack of self-awareness. I can't tell you that this is one of the biggest problems. And that's why the fact that you're here on this mentorship program, on the Mindful Arts Academy, we have really gone step by step, understanding ourselves, understanding our emotions, understanding our insecurities, understanding there's so much of deep inner work. And most people don't have that self-awareness, right? If there's a negative energy, if you are, let's say, you're always complaining. And I've had that experience. Now, some people will classify things wrongly. Right? You know, there could be someone who may have an illness. And when you say, okay, you really need to get this illness treated, they'll just see that as negative vibes. Well, no, it's not negative vibes. We're like, we want to be real about something, right? So we have to also be careful of the toxic positivity. That toxic positivity can be very damaging as well. What is toxic positivity? Where you think everything, there's like just positive vibes, no negative vibes, everything is good, no matter what is in front of you, you never take action to make it better because it's like that, everything, you know, I accept everything. And when you accept everything, then nothing improves, okay? And then it is the, do you isolate yourself? You know, do you have a tendency to isolate? So tell me, honestly, if we're looking within, do you sense that there is any of these characteristics that you may have? Can you admit that maybe sometimes in some relationships that you were the toxic friend, right? And that's an important question to ask. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, that we may go through periods, we may have moments where we are just dumping, right? And I know that we've all experienced that because we go, like, life is tough. Life is very challenging. And there's nothing wrong with going through periods of like that as long as you, what is the phrase I always say? Jump back or get back from setbacks. Remind me, what is it? It doesn't come to me, but I always have said it in the past. And it's not about the falling, right? It's about getting back up, okay? And so, inshallah, we can learn from these experiences. So, the friends that have come into our lives, the people, the beautiful souls who have come and touched our heart, the beautiful souls who have made us feel loved, we have felt the sense of, being uplifted, being inspired. We have to really cherish those experiences, right? And those individuals who have come in our heart, in our lives, and maybe they really hurt us. Maybe they really disappointed us and made us really frustrated and upset. They all serve the purpose, right? I have learned some of the most valuable lessons from those difficult friendships. I have learned the how to be a better counselor by, being stabbed in the back multiple times. I have learned to have more empathy because of the hardships I've endured. It's opened up my eyes. I'm no longer naive, but I'm definitely still optimistic. So it is really important for us to understand what it means to be a good friend, to cultivate those beautiful characteristics. When we want to emulate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was an amazing friend, and he had he had just such an impeccable character. And he has taught us that the heaviest thing on the scale is a good character. So the kind of friend that you are says a lot about your character, right? And we have to really surround ourselves with individuals that are luminaries. You know, these are individuals who have their priorities right. You know, there are in my life, I've had friends that sometimes it's like my nafs on steroids. You know, this is like way back in my 20s. I really felt like this friend on, like, my nafs on steroid. Everything that I love, like the dunya things, whether it was makeup, whether it was clothes, whether it was whatever, it was like, oh my God, on steroids. And being around that made me more and more like love the dunya more, right? There are some people, when you're around them, you just end up spending so much, right? There's all this, and I joked with a friend, I said, oh my God, and I'm around, it's like, because it's always like, hey, buy this, and look at this, and this is great, and look, they have a sale here, and yeah, and it's not about like sales, not like common items, right? This is, I'm talking about huge items, right? These are huge items. And it's funny because she's like, you know, I have that reputation. All my friends, husbands are like, oh my God, don't hang out around this one, because she's like, she makes you spend a lot of money. And I recognize it. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like, I wouldn't have even known about a lot of this stuff. And I wouldn't have probably spent on these things, but it all has to do with who you're spending time with, right? So we want to surround ourselves with people that are inspiring, people who are working on themselves, people who have beautiful characteristics, people who are humble and who are akhira driven. And when we surround ourselves with those kind of individuals, then we can grow. And at the same time, we do have to hold on to the hands of those who may be struggling. I always said this in my halaqa in Egypt, that with one hand, you're helping those, right? You're helping pull those individuals who need it. They may be struggling and they, you know, they've lost hope. I love being a source of hope for someone who has lost hope. And if a client comes in and they're like, everyone has betrayed them, I want to do even more to give them hope. So you pull up those individuals, but at the same time, you have to pull yourself up. You have individuals that are so committed, so focused, so, you know, just amazing. And you pull yourself up at the same time, because if it's only one directional, then you're not growing. And we always have to be growing. So, let's see, I realize that I am more like my mom than I think. What I think is general questioning someone else might view as criticizing or judging. I definitely lack self-awareness in that. Girl, give me a high five for realizing that. Woo, you guys, let's show some love. The sister has been on fire, mashallah, this lesson. I love the interaction, your feedback, your honesty, vulnerability. And recognizing that is amazing. Yes, if you question, and this was one of the things that was very hard in one friendship, and I had to let her know that I'm like, you know, you're just very, very judgmental of others and never looking within. So good job for recognizing that. Sister Helene, thank you so much for this amazing lesson. Learning so much. Give me a high five, Sister Helene. You're always here, always showing up, always working on yourself, mashallah. So tell me what did you learn? Let's quickly maybe write one phrase, one thing that you're walking away with as far as friendship. What is it that you benefited? We had this time together, and I want to make sure that you're walking away with some insight. A sister told us she realized She questions, and people may see that as criticizing and judgmental. Yes. And asking why questions, you know, like this friend I'm talking to you about, I had gone, you know, grocery shopping, and, you know, I had gone grocery shopping. I was in a rush. I think I was having people come over. So I said, oh, I need to pray. Asa, she's like, you haven't prayed yet? In this very, like, it's not like I was sitting and watching Netflix. I was, like, running around and I was outside. You know, so that mentality of, like, I'm judging you. Like, you're not doing a good job, right? And, you know, a good friend would go, oh, go, run. I'll take care of this. Don't worry about it. That happens. That happens to me. It happens, you know, we try our best, but we don't want to make someone feel judged. So quickly, let me know, what is it that you're walking away with? I want you to tell me two things. Okay, one, how are you going to be a better friend? How are you going to show up for your friendships differently? Okay. And two, what did you learn about, like, let's say friendships, or what are you going to seek out in your friendships? So very quickly, let's put a couple of minutes, and that way it's a good little reminder, and it's a little review, because inshallah, we want to, I'll just make some dua for us that, ya Allah, help us to continuously work on ourselves. Ya Allah, with the characteristics we are aware of that we need to change, and those things that we are unaware of, Ya Allah, gently get us to recognize our shortcomings and to work on ourselves. Ya Allah, help us to meet you with qalb salim, right? Like, we want to have a pure heart. We want to meet you when we are at the peak of iman. We want to see you, Ya Allah, when you are most pleased with us. Ya Allah, don't let us get misguided after you have guided us. Ya Allah, surround us with your awliya. Ya Allah, let our children be surrounded with your awliya. Ya Allah, help us to be a true friend with best character, and to be a friend with ihsan. And Ya Allah, help the friends that we have, if they are good for us, surround us with them. If they are not good for us, Ya Allah, replace them with those who are better, and help us to distinguish between good and bad. And Ya Allah, help us to distinguish within ourselves what needs to be changed. Ya Allah, help us to truly wake up right now. There's so much happening with Palestine. Ya Allah, help those people who are surrounded. Ya Allah, those people who have moved three times on them, and they are being attacked and slaughtered. And Ya Allah, this is the first time that there's been this awakening about Palestine within the universities. I think over 40 universities are doing the campaigns for the ceasefire, not just ceasefire, but divesting within the university. Ya Allah, help them. Ya Allah, preserve them. Ya Allah, protect them. Tomorrow, the flotilla is going to from Turkey to Gaza. Ya Allah, protect them. Ya Allah, protect them. They are going with such sincerity. They are putting their lives on the line. They have put their wealth on the line. Ya Allah, let this be the liberation of Palestine. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, let this be the reason that Gaza is not in siege anymore, and protect them, and let this bring relief to all the people there. And I pray that Allah accepts the very little that we do. Sister Aisha, let's see, Aisha too, right? Okay, I have learned to look more into my character and continue to work on myself in order to be a better friend by constantly rewatching these lessons, because they have helped me so much. I regret so much. Allah, Sister Aisha, good job. Y'all, let's show some love. I didn't see that y'all showed love to the sister that I said she was really participating, and just lots of hearts, you guys. Let's see, but I see improvements here and there. Alhamdulillah, I have come so far working on my, mashallah, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you for being here. So proud of you working on yourself. Those of you who are not a member of the Mindful Hearts, if, Sister Aisha, are you on? If you could write a link to the Mindful Hearts Academy. This is a mentorship program that I've been running, mashallah, since 2019. And we have been working together in becoming the best versions of ourselves. And it's been a beautiful, beautiful journey. How many of you have changed by being on here? How many of you have seen like a transformation in your relationships by working on yourself? Because that's something that, you know, I love hearing that when you work on yourself, then your relationships become exponentially better. So inshallah, we can, if I don't know if she's on, I'll write it myself, themindfulhearts.com. This is the Mindful Academy. Here we go. If you have a sister, you have a wife, I think because there's some brothers on, share it with them. And if, as they become a better version of themselves, your relationships will improve as well. Any other questions, any other comments? Really happy that you're able to join in. Inshallah that we can be surrounded with the most righteous people and that we can be a source of inspiration, hope, and guidance, inshallah. Let's see, Sister Aishtu, you've been on the Mindful Heart since 2020. High five, sister. I hope that it's been helpful for you. I see you, you know, you show up on the lives, you interact. So that's a great way to work on yourself. And wonderful. So inshallah, next week we will start a new phase. And I'm excited about this because it is the art of conflict resolution, right? So many people struggle. They struggle with this. They don't know. They don't know the first thing about conflict resolution because either they will explode and have a fight or they cut the person off, right? Or it's the silent treatment. So inshallah, we'll learn the art of conflict resolution. Take good care and salam alaikum.